precious than silver.
If you have your Bibles for just a few minutes, I know it's real early, so open up to Romans 8. Thank you, Jesus. That's right. Reverse psychology. It's early. Thank you, Jesus. Romans 8, just having fun. I would like to begin reading I'll start reading in verse 5 in Romans 8. I can read all of it, but for just the sake of focus here, without messing up a conversation already in process, I will start with Romans 8 and 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Praise God. One more passage. If you hold your finger there, we're coming back to it. And go to Proverbs, the 4th chapter of Proverbs. And we're going to read verse 5 through 7. Proverbs 4, 5 through 7 in the great Word of God. Word of God is great. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, or the chiefest thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. With all thy getting, get understanding. Tonight I want to talk to you about a couple of things. I want to talk about being lopsided and understanding. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's pray. God, help us tonight. We love your word. We respect your word. It's your word that you've, Lord, exalted above your name and sent into this world to deliver us from the darkness that was in our lives. Help us tonight. Receive something from your word. Touch our understanding in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Remember Sister Becca in prayer as well. So in your prayer time, remember she asked for prayer. And there are things that come up sometimes that try us and that we go through. So keep her in prayer, whatever that might be. We read in Romans, the 8th chapter, something that some sometimes don't understand when they're reading terminology such as carnal and spiritual. And to be simple, to be carnal, as the apostle is talking about here, it is to not realistically, it's in reference more times than not to people that should be Holy Ghost filled, should be sensitive to the things pertaining to God, but for whatever reason have fallen off the wagon or they're just not nurturing the things of God. And also to those, yes, that have never tasted God and don't have the Holy Ghost, it applies to them as well. But you might have seen it more in action when you've seen people that haven't been praying like they should, things of life get to them, their frame of thought isn't what it once was. You might find them drifting more into the worry wart side of things versus before, where they were praise God, hallelujah, all things are possible with God. You get it. We've all been there, and we've all had to kind of go back to the prayer room and brush off the natural man and realize, hey, look, if I live like this, I cannot please God, right? Because whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Being in the flesh it's not saying this flesh per se, because if we're all flesh. So if when you read verse 8, for example, they that are in the flesh cannot please God, you'd think, well, I'm in my flesh. I live with it every day. I go to sleep with it. I wake up with it. I look at it in the mirror. you might assume things. If you're lopsided in the carnal direction, you'll assume that that's what it means. But if you're spiritually minded, you'll realize it means walking after the works of the flesh, being sinful, letting the works, that other law that was talked about in this epistle, work inside of your members. And when you're doing that, the law of sin, when that's working in your life, you're carnal. But if Christ be in you, there's something that's dead and something else that is alive. I'm not trying to be complicated tonight. I'm simply here to talk about being lopsided. Some of us live our lives sometimes very lopsided. And I'm not saying that it's in reference to what I'm saying here tonight on these particular verses of Scripture, but these verses kind of help paint a picture to define a little bit of what lopsided means, because it's dealing with carnal minds and spiritual minds. And so it's going to help me here in defining lopsided, and you'll catch it in a minute. But the verses of Scripture that we're reading here, to be carnally minded is death. It means to mind the things of the flesh. So there are people that have come among us that can't get it. They hear, but the word of God is not reaching them. There's no sincerity. There's no place of repentance. There's no open heart unto God. They're just so in tune with their sinful living, everything going on in their life, that it just seems like the word's just not reaching them. And so they're lopsided. They're leaning, in other words, to be lopsided is one side's bigger than the other. There's a dominance there. Let me just read the definition. Leaning to one side, this is the definition of lopsided, lacking in balance, symmetry, or proportion, disproportionately heavy on one side, as an example of a lopsided vote, 100-1. Let me say it like this. We're right brain and left brain people, makes up one brain, and each function of left and right hemisphere has their own properties to it. Logic, emotion. Creativity, reason. Some people are lopsided. Praise God. Some people are so analytical, so logical, so thinking. I like to say thinkative. It's probably not a word, but sounds good tonight. You wouldn't think there's an ounce of creativity to them. But I'm not here to pick on anybody for that. A lot of you chuckled because you know yourself. But right, some people just lopsided. Some people are just extremely creative, and there's no like common sense to them. They operate, it's kind of like an Albert Einstein guy whose his hair is frazzled, like he stuck his finger in a light socket, and he's been noted to walk out the door with his shirt hanging out and be unkempt, like he just crawled out of bed. Because, right, that's lopsided. He was probably somebody you would say was very left-brained. Some of us can complicate life because we're lopsided. Because we think too much. We reason too much. Some of us are lopsided because we're too emotional. We need to learn somewhere along the way to get a balance if we're ever going to accomplish things in everyday living. Sometimes we become unaccomplished because we're lopsided. When we read the word of the Lord, what's beautiful about this passage of Scripture, and stick with me a moment, I'm almost through. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And somewhere on the idea of being spiritually minded, which means we're converted, our sins are blotted out, we're walking with the Savior, we're full of the Holy Ghost. We can't be spiritually minded if we're not full of the Holy Ghost. That's impossible. You can listen to people talk about being spiritual all day long, but I don't care if they meditate. I don't care if they bow to 1,000 statues. I don't care if they try to communicate with the cosmos. If they're not full of the Holy Ghost, they're carnal. Bottom line, you can try to sit on a lotus. and pray with a monkey and say you're spiritual, but you're carnal. As long as the law of sin and death reigns inside of you. And there are people in this world that are questing every day for the spiritual. There are people who become full of, they follow after witchcraft. And they follow after, divining after spirits. That's not spiritual. Let me just tell you this right off the bat. That's carnal, it's sinful, it's ungodly. There's nothing spiritual about somebody being able to divine by a bad spirit. Praise the Lord. They are lopsided. But to be spiritually minded. It's like they lived there. We were there. Such were some of us. We lived our whole life lopsided. And when we came to church, our whole life was leaning in one direction towards hell. And then the word came to us. Somebody who is straight and narrow. Somebody well-balanced, praise God. Somebody that knew where he was going, knew where he came from, knew who he was, and was not lopsided, full of life and peace. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And what I'd like to say to you tonight is, if you would allow the life and peace of God, the balanced nature of God to affect you. This is why it's so important that we pray. We don't know what we should pray for as we ought, and it's the truth, because we don't know everything that we have need of. Because as human beings, we are very sometimes lopsided, but we'll find without us even knowing in times of prayer, because we've become spiritually minded, because we are one with God. Remember what it's written in 1 Corinthians 6. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. In John chapter 17, Father, that they may be one as we are. He knew, again, the zeal of the Lord, right? We talked about the other night. It's not just to whip you with a switch. It's to become one with you. And when he becomes one with you, he knows how to bring you into balance. And when your life's out of control, he knows how to make it in control. That's the whole reason we have those examples in the Word of him standing up in the boat, quieting the storm, walking on the water. Because when life gets out of control, we've got a balance. When life gets lopsided, we've got a balance. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Even if we don't intend it to get lopsided, sometimes life just gets weighted in one direction. Thank you, Jesus. What can affect us is when, and I'll get to that in just a minute with understanding and an example that I'd like to share. So it's almost going to feel like a double-sided coin tonight, a two-part message, but I think there's some connection here. I'm just kind of talking from the heart here tonight, if you just allow me. We've all met people who are over-emotional and suffer in the area of logic and common sense. So in other words, their thinking is coming from the emotional thinking, which can sometimes cloud rational thinking. Yes. Again, you have you don't see it because it's inside your skin and skull, but you have two hemispheres that make up you. It's a beautiful picture of a lot of things that God knows how to make us. Again, back to the fact that we don't know what we should pray for as we ought, but God knows what to do to bring our hemispheres in line. Praise God. But sometimes some people they're one or the other. They're too much rational and they lack a little emotion. Some are over-emotional and lack a little rational. And oftentimes, when we're leaning this way or that way, it can affect our ability to walk effectively in sometimes just everyday areas of life. Because one thing is dominant. One thing is in control. It's at the driver's seat when it shouldn't be. But here's the thing. Back to the fact that we don't know what we should pray for as we ought. If we're spiritually minded, in each and every one of us is a key. And it's the key of David. It's the star of David that can bring us into balance. You ever wonder when people get converted and they're absolute fruit cups when they come to God, but then all of a sudden they level off and they're able to maybe get a job or start a business or do, all of a sudden they start doing well for themselves and their sanity comes back and their two eyes kind of come back into place and kind of focus, and then all of a sudden they're like, wow, they're normal. They're no longer doing the lotus pose and crying out to Polaris. All of a sudden now there's soundness to their life. They're no longer lopsided. Back to that example of the kid. You got parents here tonight, and you know when your kids were little and they came in and they fell off their bike or they got in a fuss with one of their siblings or they were just out of their mind. Or they got frightened, right? Because the thunder. They come running out of their room. Wah! They're at that moment, they're lopsided. Because something has just gone into the stratosphere that's in charge. And then mom and dad are trying to zero things in and bring things back into a balance so that they can figure out what's going on. Okay, I think I've said enough on that. You understand? What I am here to say is simply this. When you want to do things for God, be careful how much you think. Remember the Lord in Isaiah 1 said, come, let us reason together. Because the Lord knows you're terrible at it. But he's really good at it. Hallelujah. And if we come talk to the Lord, he'll do more reasoning and we'll do less. And we'll walk out of the prayer room balanced. Whenever your life goes to the point of despair and confusion and frustration, you're unbalanced. You could be thinking wrong. Just saying. For to be carnally minded is death. Now, I'm not here to say if you're spiritually minded, but you're lopsided, that there's death. That's not my point. I was reading these verses because I wanted to establish the difference in minds. Spiritual mind and a sinful mind. Two different minds. And one's balanced and the other isn't. Jesus said, straight is the gate. And he determined that on this highway of holiness, nothing unclean will walk in this. He's got this thing so airtight, so balanced. That's why we do so well when we worship and we yield ourselves to God and we brush off the day. That's why we feel like we're just floating on the clouds, ready to go to heaven, because that's how balanced this thing is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. When you're trying to figure out how to do everything in life and you're frustrated because nothing's going your way, right now you're lopsided. But when you come to Jesus, it all just evens out. And the peace that passes all understanding kind of brings you back so you can walk straight. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen. I don't have to know the next step. I don't have to waste my thought on the next step. I just need to keep doing what I'm doing. That's all. Don't overthink it. If you have a job, thank God for your job. If you own a business, thank God for your business. Praise the Lord. Continue in what you're doing. God can use us wherever we are. Proverbs, let me try to finish up here. There's so much good stuff here. So much stuff we could talk at a human level that sometimes in the church house needs to be talked about in the way that it needs to be talked about. Because sometimes some things are not dealt with and need to be dealt with in the way that it needs to be dealt with. So that you know God understands and sees and it's not hidden in his eyes. He gets you. You don't get you. He gets you. He knows you. That's why we come to him. He said, come unto me. You need to come unto me. Quickly. And whenever we can go to God in prayer like a kid coming through the door, got his lights punched out by the next door neighbor, right? It's kid, right? And they're all bloodied and they're all emotionally whacked out. But we've gone to God that way, but you know what he can do when we get there. When he says, come, let us reason, we show up to let him do all the reasoning. because our brain's fried trying to reason it. We can't reason it. When Jesus said, take no thought for your life, we disobey that so many times. And we do just the opposite of what he says, and we get lopsided. We kind of walk like one side of our brain's like 80 pounds, and the other side's 2. And we go to church that way, and we all wonder why we got neck problems. Why it takes you so long to get started. Church is almost over, and you're starting to feel pretty good. Praise the Lord. You spent 40% of the service lopsided. If you have. There's a reason why he teaches us to quiet the think motor. If we can't add to our cubit one step, you know, to our stature one cubit. In other words, if we can't make ourselves grow a foot plus by taking thought, what makes you think you can solve all of life's problems by thinking about it? And reasoning out the future and just, I have to know. I just have to think. Some people say, I have to be lopsided. I've lived my whole life lopsided. I've just got to be. No, you don't. If you live a life of prayer, the Jesus that knows what to do, knows what you have need of before you ask, he'll start doing stuff in your life. And that's what I meant to say earlier, 10 minutes ago. When you continue instant in prayer, and you let prayer is a life of surrender to God. It's a, I'm tired, I'm pooped thinking so much and reasoning so much. I'm here to give up and yield to God. He starts doing stuff. We don't know that he's doing it. And that's what I said before. And all of a sudden, we're actually sane. We're operating. How many times have you ever heard somebody say, you know, I worry less? You know, I used to be like this, and all of a sudden I realized the other day I don't do that anymore. Duh. Right. Because he knows what to do to put you into balance and keep your life from being so lopsided in one direction. Because sometimes lopsidedness, it hinders us, and we just can't function right. Praise God. All right, enough said about that. And, well, that's just the way it is. There are times, and I'm just here to make that mention to you. Sometimes we just hurt our own success in life and our own growth in natural and spiritual areas because we're just lopsided. All right, let's go to Proverbs 4, and I'll finish with this. Thank you for listening. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Sometimes the biggest struggle between parent and children is lopsidedness. Sometimes the biggest struggle between husband and wife is lopsidedness. I know you want me to say more. Thank you, Jesus. But it's true. It's human nature. It's human nature. But the problem, the answer to lopsided, the solution to lopsidedness always, always, always is the balance. It is the submission. It is the yielding that brings things together. Because when things are lopsided in one direction than the other, there's trouble. You can't jump on a seesaw with somebody that's 800 pounds and you're 50 and expect to have a good time. It's a little lopsided, and unless they do all the work, you're not going to be able to do nothing because the 800-pound gorilla on the other side's in complete control. So it means when something's lopsided, the other party having no fun. I better stop before I need this as a shield. Okay, so here we are. Get wisdom, get understanding. Now, if you ever find yourself, let me say this before I finish with this. If you find yourself in areas that something in your life is a little bit lopsided, you find yourself to this or to that, you're fixable. You're fixable. If you feel like there's something in you that always hinders you because it seems to be the 800-pound gorilla on the other side of the seesaw, and then when you try to, You're in the air. You're not lifting that thing, 50 pounds. Weight on one side, and right? You're not. And it doesn't matter if on the other side it is an 800-pound way of thinking. The only one that can get the 800-pound gorilla to lose weight is a spiritual mind that's filled with life and peace, because a spiritual mind will go over to the 800-pound gorilla and put him on a treadmill. Praise the Lord. You'd be surprised, and all of us, just our human way of reasoning and thinking, how much it hinders us. Get wisdom, get understanding. Verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all you're getting, get understanding. I have been studying some material writings from late 1st century, early 2nd century, late 2nd century, and reading this type of material and doctrines and things that people were believing and teaching from a very early perspective of the apostolic church, post the apostolic church by just a few decades. And in my reading, there was something that I had to do because I found myself lopsided. Lopsided that when I read something that wasn't the way that I saw it, wasn't the way that I believed, something that I knew that is not scripture, in an effort to understand. See, getting understanding sometimes is putting that 800-pound gorilla of I know I'm right on the treadmill. Putting him in the weight room, making him lose weight so that we can come back into balance and have the ability to be swift to hear, slow to speak, so that we can actually tune out the unbalanced way of thinking that will not listen to the other party. And actually listen to what they're writing, even if they're wrong. Listen to what they're saying. Step into their shoes. And doing so, I found something actually kind of beautiful. And that is, I was able to hear how this they've been dead for like 2,000 years, but I've been able to hear how they were thinking. Hear how they were coming to conclusions, even though some of the conclusions were wrong. I was able to hear them, listen to them, without wanting to shred them, pick them apart, say, no, you missed it here, no, you missed it here, no, you forgot this scripture, no, you didn't know this, no, you just don't have understanding. Instead, I had to find myself stepping back and saying, wait a minute, maybe I'm the one that needs understanding. When Jesus attached himself to the two on the road to Emmaus in Luke 24, they had their heads down. Jesus did not walk up to them. He said some strong things afterwards. It would sound strong, but he didn't walk up to them and berate them and rebuke them. He said, what are you guys talking about? Why are you so sad? And then he listened. We really have to learn how to be good listeners. Not just listen, but try to have understanding. When we get wisdom and understanding, sometimes we just think about it's all about our life. I need wisdom. I need understanding because I need it. I need it. It's that lopsided, I need. I know they need, but I need. You know, we're the 800-pound gorilla on the other side, and there's a soul that needs us, and they're the 50-pound weight on the other side. They have no chance at all, as long as we're 800 pounds. But when we deflate our understanding, when we shed off all of that excess, I'm right, I know I'm right. Jesus' name, one God, Holy Ghost, this is the way you got to see it. You've got to see it our way or else. It's this way or hell. I'm talking about reading writings of a man, on one particular man, who developed a doctrine that has been such a thorn and an obstacle, but yet I'm able to step away and just, every time I read something, just shut up, bring myself into balance, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet, listen to him. And I found something. I discovered that the same reasoning in this guy who invented certain doctrines is the same reasoning that we find in the people that believe his doctrines. It is no different. When you create a bad doctrine and others build on it, it's still going to be a bad doctrine. Unless it's corrected by the truth. And you'll always, and when you breed the same understanding, which could be a bad understanding, but when you breed a thought process into somebody else and they ingest it and they embrace it and they say, this is doctrine, this is biblical doctrine, the reasoning that they came up with passes on. So that today, when we find people explaining certain teachings about the name of the Lord or his deity, we find it's the same type of reasoning. They say one thing, and then they say another thing, then they say another thing. And it's the same thing that the dude that invented what they believe reasoned. But I would have never seen that. I would have never been able to follow his thought process and see how this Greek philosopher, in this particular example, came up with his conclusions about the Word of God and about what he was reading if I just sliced and diced him along the way and closed the book and said, well, he's an idiot, and threw his book in the fire and said, well, bless God, God's not that. I don't think we should have that type of attitude. We were never taught to have that type of attitude. Now, you've been in church as long, some of you, as long as I have, and we've heard strong preaching, very strong preaching. I don't think I've still yet to preach as strong and fiery as Brother Rutledge has ever preached on certain issues. But at the same time, even though he was strong, there was never not in him a willingness to understand. What will make you a better soul winner is for you to understand the soul you're trying to win. And for me, preaching the message, for example, of one God, I feel like I'll be a better preacher, a better reacher, a better understander of who God is, simply because I allowed myself to again hear the origins of something that I was raised believing that wasn't true. But because I have willingly opened up myself to say, how do you understand this? Why was this taught? How did they come to this? But by understanding it and seeing how they're reasoning these things, we're able to help people. Because we're able to go back into the Word of the Lord, and we're able now, where we know that they went this way and became lopsided, we're able to help bring them back to a place of balance in Scripture. Praise the Lord. That makes sense to everybody? All of us in reaching for people need to be able to understand where they're coming from and reach for them and take them where they are. Jesus was always able to take people where they were, regardless of who they were, what they believed. It never stopped him from being able to impact their life. Whether it was Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, somebody knowledgeable in the law of Moses, or it was Zacchaeus, who is very rich, and somebody that dishonest, he mentioned it himself. He was able to reach both sides of the spectrum and everything in between. We should be able to do the same. And we need to fall out of the trap, not into the trap, but out of the trap of debate, proving that we're the only ones who are right. That should never be personified in our person, ever. We should be able to be spiritually minded, because spiritually minded is going to produce life and peace that those believers who are believing something wrong, but that's what they're looking for. And when they experience life and peace from the spiritually minded, who should know better, who should know how to reach, good things are going to happen. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. We'll be able to see people converted, entire congregations converted, people come to a knowledge of the truth. Because when you get understanding, the other part of this, it creates inside of you a great amount of patience and long suffering. Because now you realize you're on a rescue mission. and you're much more patient to rescue someone who's trapped, falling through the ice, versus getting all lopsided yourself and letting them drown. Amen. 9:02, let's stand. Hallelujah. Hope this all made sense tonight. Just a couple thoughts on the brain. Hallelujah. Praise God. God's so good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 One more thing. I don't ever remember Pastor one time, for me, I'm talking about when I first came to church. I don't ever remember him ever saying one negative thing about how I was raised religiously. I don't recall at all. But I do recall a man very wisely, full of understanding, saying and doing things that caused me to hunger and thirst after righteousness and seek for knowledge. He would say, he knew and purposefully would say certain things in the pulpit to trigger. Praise God. And I thank God for that. There's a soul out there that you can influence into the kingdom of God with all you're getting. Get understanding. Amen. One more time. Let's just love the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus, we love you, Lord. Jesus, we love you, Lord. Jesus, we love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God bless you tonight. Amen. Next time you feel lopsided, go pray. You're dismissed. God bless you.